Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, church. Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
I'm good as well. I'm excited to be here. I'm blessed. I'm honored. And I'm going to dive right in because I have a lot of scripture that I do want to cover. I'm pretty excited. We started a new series on Philippians last week. Daniel actually got right into it with Philippians 1. And, you know, I'm actually very blessed. And pardon me, because I do have a couple of things that some ticks when I'm on stage that you'll notice. I drink a lot of water because I get very cotton mouth. I ramble, so I will do my best not to, so we can get out of here, so we can get to lunch. You know, I've been told multiple times by my wife, hey, you know, you talk too much. So stick with me, and we're going to get right into it. So last week, Daniel was talking about Philippians 1. He's talking about Paul, and some really good things came out of that. Paul started off in Philippians writing to the church in Philippi. Now, to give you a little background, last week, Daniel actually did do that. Paul was in prison when he was writing this, and he's basically writing to this church that he had started back when, you know, along his travels, church planting. And a couple of things that he did talk about was that you're not too far out of reach. When he actually established that church, the people that he found in Philippi were not religious leaders. There was, first of all, there was a Lydia. We've heard of Lydia. Daniel talked about her. She was, a wealthy woman who was, you know, doing Bible studies, but she was no religious leader. There was a demon-possessed child, a girl, and he basically rebuked Satan and said, hey, come on out, you know, and this girl turned. And then not only that, there was a prison guard there as well. And, you know, it just shows that God can use anybody in any situation. And not only that, he talked about how, you know, when we find those people, he's writing to them in Philippians 1 through 11, which was last week, verses 1 through 11. He's talking about how, you know, when we're running the race with someone, it's encouraging and we find joy in that. So we're gonna dive right into verse 12, and we're gonna try to finish up chapter 1 of Philippians. And I'm going to kind of break it all down the way that I have kind of studied over this, and I have prayed over this message, and I kind of, Daniel said, hey, why don't you pick something out of 12 through 30 that you want to talk about? And I read it over and over and over, and me and Daniel sat together a couple weeks ago. I said, Daniel, bro, there is too much good stuff right here in 12 through 30. I can't just pick a little bit of it. So I'm going to try to dive through the whole thing, and I'm just going to break it down just to get an understanding of where Paul's at and where his heart is. And it's amazing to me. So I'm going to go ahead and start with scripture. And if you do have your Bibles, great. If not, download your Bible app because that thing is awesome. And I'm starting with NIV. For those of you who are not with me on your scripture, you might be going, what in the world is he reading? Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we're starting in verse 12, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Amen. Is it true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill? The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I'll continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. And I'm going to wrap this up because I know it's a lot of scripture, guys, but it's good. It's just so good. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. So it's a lot to take in, and I know we're, okay, breathe it out. Paul was writing from a prison cell, and, you know, his whole mission, you know, Daniel talked about last week that he was Saul, right? He's a religious leader. He's out trying to kill Christians. Jesus stopped him on the way to Damascus and basically said, hey, it's done. What you're doing is not cool. And Paul completely, Saul, completely converts to Paul and then makes it his life mission to spread the gospel. And in that time frame, he's going through all these hardships. So I want to kind of just jump through each part of this scripture. First of all, he talks about, you know, being... you know, what has happened to me, being in that situation, what has happened to me is all about the gospel. And I just want to tell you all a little story. I know Daniel said I was kind of part of the church plant team when he came down. We were late to the boat, and I'll tell you a funny story about it. Again, the water, I'm sorry. It is one of my ticks. So Daniel and I have known each other for 7 years, I guess. We met at a church. He was a youth pastor. I wanted to, you know, love on teenagers and teach them about Jesus. That was my heart. And we became friends through that. And I can remember back 7 years ago, probably conversation number four, Daniel goes, man, I want to plant a church. And I'm like, okay, you do that. Have fun. Basically was my philosophy. But I encouraged him. I said, hey, that's awesome, man. Go you. I'm going to stick right here. That's not my heart. And over the years, we talked about it off and on. You know, he said, hey, at one time, and some people in the room may have remembered, he talked about Portland. He talked about Seattle. He was talking about going, oh, he's a world changer, Keeter. And I'm like, okay, Daniel, you do it. And I told him, I'll be at your first Sunday. Past that, I'm not in. I don't know if that's for me, man. So needless to say, a couple years go by and the time came. He told me, hey, look, I figured it out. Me and Amanda have been praying about it. This is where we want to go. We want to come, you know, come to Bluffton. We want to plant a church. And originally we said, okay, great. And I was here for his soft launch. I came down, I helped him set up and pat him on the back, said, I love you, man. Good job. And he said, I'm praying for you too, you know. You're coming with me. And I'm like, okay, keep praying, Daniel. His prayer worked. Here I am. But the crazy thing is, it took us a little while. We were a little late to the party. My wife is the kids person here. I don't know what her official title is, but she does all the kids ministry here. She's been in kids ministry for many years, and you know, we've always been in different churches serving. And she did her children's ministry thing. I did whatever the church wanted. You know, it didn't matter to me. I just want to be here to serve. So Daniel and I talked multiple times. I think I came down here right after Easter because my wife wanted to try it out. He started in January. We waited until Easter. We came down. We spent time with the church. We loved on the church. Matter of fact, we went to eat dinner after church and we sat for hours. My wife just fell in love. We leave going over to the Talmadge Bridge in Savannah and she's crying. This is where I want to be. Wait a minute. What? So God works it all out. All of a sudden, we sold our house very unexpectedly. We got a cash offer on it for more than what it was worth. I had no intentions of selling my home, God. What are you doing? I didn't make the decision then. I said, no, I'm going to fight this a little bit. And we moved in with my mother-in-law. And I said, I don't know what we're doing. We're just hanging out, all the while knowing where I was going. Now, here's the crazy thing. This is where I want to lead into. Eventually, we did come to it. We ended up buying an RV. Dumbest decision of my life. Okay, it was not a good idea. But God allowed for it. And we brought an RV down here. Now, this RV was a little bit older. As soon as we moved down, the AC went out in August of last year. I started a new job, and in that job, it was a completely different industry for me. And I took a pay cut. Said, hey, okay, you know, this is where, you know, after prayer and fighting it for a couple of months, this is where God wants us. And Jamie and the kids, Jamie's homeschooling the kids in a RV with no AC. I'm at this new job. Not only is it a pay cut, but I have to take a specific test in order to keep my job, which is very nerve-wracking. And, you know, we're going through all these things. We had a dog. We still have our dog. I have three children, my wife in a 36-foot bunkhouse trailer in Bluffton with no AC. I'm not making enough money that I feel is going to be necessary for us to make it. And in all that, God was faithful. But moral of the story is, I was going through hardships. I was going through all these silly things that I felt were tough for me. And I read about Paul, and Paul, his mission is to go and spread the gospel. That's all he wanted to do. He took off, went and planted churches. And in all that, he's writing back to the church of Philippi, saying, hey, with all that stuff that's happened to me, it's all about the advance of the gospel. And, you know, at the end of the day, yes, my heart was that. Like, I wanted to come here, and we wanted to spread the gospel. But just knowing where he was in verse 12, just saying, hey, all of those things are okay. And here I go rambling, and I'm going to cut that. But when you're faithful and when you're pursuing, God's going to bless that. And we've been able to, you know, live through that. But he's telling the church that. He's saying, hey, Philippi, look, don't worry. All these things, the prison, the shipwreck that I went through, you know, I've been persecuted. I've been threatened. My life has been threatened. It's all about the spread of the gospel. So first and foremost, what his goal was being focused. He stayed focused and put the gospel first. Now, I'm going to go into verse 13. Verse 13 gets even better. He goes, hey, you know, people are hearing the gospel. Paul recognized that, and he was pleased that no matter what people thought of him, God was getting what he deserved. God was getting all of the glory. And sometimes we find ourselves in that situation where, you know, we're being selfish, and we think, well, this isn't worth it for me. And for him, his whole purpose was to spread the gospel. So any of those things, he's encouraging the church. Hey, it doesn't matter. But then there were other people who were also spreading the gospel for false motives. And sometimes we got to do a motive check. We got to check why we're in ministry. And I don't mean in the sense of being a pastor of a church or a church planner, but as a Christ follower, what are we called to? And for him, he's talking about all these people who are spreading the gospel who have a false motive maybe. Maybe because now that this Paul guy's out of the picture, I can get the recognition. I can get the recognition for spreading the gospel now because everybody's heard about this Paul. Good thing he's locked up now. He's not doing it right. And he's saying, hey, regardless of what their motives are, church, can't we rejoice that the gospel is being spread? Now, you might ask yourself, okay, well, yeah, that's Paul. He's pretty legit. And he goes, what does it matter? You know, what does it matter as long as the gospel is being spread? So then we kind of go, we ask ourselves, why is this important to me? Or how do I get there? How do I get to that point? So he goes on to say, hey, for me, my ultimate motive, and this is one of the verses that really just got me. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, that song, we were talking about that. Kendall just sang that just a few moments ago. Life, what was it? I can't remember the exact lyrics, but I thought about it. I was like, man, that's great. You know, life is all about spreading the gospel. For me, you know, I want to be able to make sure that my entire existence is about that. And that's what he's saying is, hey, put your focus where it needs to be. Put your focus in the gospel and spreading it. All the other things that are scary to you, all the other things that you're going through hardship-wise, those will be taken care of. So we go, okay, how do I do that? And for him, his whole motive was to honor Christ. Everything he preached about was, hey, I want to make sure I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. Are we sometimes ashamed of the gospel? Come on, church, let's talk. You know, I know for me, and I'm sitting up here on a stage in front of my friends and family, people I love. This is church, right? But when we leave the walls of this building, how are we spreading the gospel? And it could, I'm not saying we should go into our workplace tomorrow morning and say, hey, everybody, before we get started, we're going to have Bible study. That's intimidating, right? But for Paul, his whole idea behind this is, hey, look, I just want to make sure that no matter what, Christ is being exalted in my body. Everywhere I go, every step I take, can we pray over that? I'm not saying we should be getting up on a stage. That's not for everybody. That's a tough job. I admire Daniel. I admire Jason. He gets up here, and there's many other pastors that get up and preach. That's a tough thing to do. But when we're honestly asking ourselves, what can we do to better ourselves and the gospel? Shouldn't we just simply have Christ exalted in our body and our workplace? Go to work on Monday morning and have a joyful spirit. Not only that, you know, for honoring Christ, the next verse, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, what do you live for? I think a lot of the situations that I can think of is what we live for. I live for work. For to me, I live for work. We have to pay the bills, right? We go to work, we do the things that we need to do. We completely put to the side anything that has to do with me studying my Bible, because I've got a lot going on. Not only that, for to me, my kids' sports. Sorry. Maybe it's golf. Maybe it's shopping. Whatever it may be. For to me, to live is insert your blank. Paul's motive, Paul's heart was, for to me, to live is Christ. Everything about my Christian faith, everything about being a Christ follower is about spreading the gospel. But not only that, in order to get there, in order to honor Christ, we have to apply that teaching. Put that first in my life. Everything about what I do. I wake up in the morning and I go, hey, God, how can I serve you? Maybe it's not going out and preaching. Maybe that's not my calling. That's fine. But God, what can I do? Can you put a situation in my life today? And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's going, hey, you know, church. And he's specifically talking to Philippi. He's going, hey, church, here's the thing. When your motives are right or not, if you're finding that other people are you know, causing dissension in the church, and we tend to look at that and go, you know, they're terrible over there at that church. They do this, they do that. But is the gospel being spread? Not only that, when you're living for Christ, you're putting him in your heart every day, and you're going, hey, I don't know what it means, Lord, but I just want to make sure that I'm living for you. And when you do that, the next set of that is, you know, he goes in on verse 27. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, working together in one faith, is my opinion. Hey, we're all here doing church, and we get discouraged. When we go back out of this building, where are our friends in church, right? I don't talk to them until Sunday again. And that's what the church is for, and that's what he's telling us here. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, but then not only that, do it striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. That's what our calling is as a church. I know it's not easy to be, you know, a Christian in today's society. You know, maybe a lot of times, you know, for to me to live is follow keeping up with the Kardashians, right? That I mean, and I'm just as guilty as the next guy. You know, we're all interested in what's going on in the world, right? And the world's telling us as Christians that we're wrong. Paul's basically giving this church, hey, here's a letter to you of encouragement, but here's some simple truths. If you just abide by this, it's going to make it really easy. But the main thing here that really stands out to me as I'm talking to this group of people that I love dearly, striving together. I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Are we doing that as a church? And maybe it's not this church. Maybe it's not the bridge. But the church, God's church, as Christians, as Christ followers, not each individual church, but all of us together. Are we striving together for the gospel? Is that our motive every day? And living for the gospel, living worthy of the gospel, you know, that can be difficult sometimes when we're keeping up with Kardashians. We want the latest nice car. Not that there's a problem with nice cars. I want a nice car too. But where are we putting our focus as a Christian church? But then it goes on a little further, and this kind of will wrap it all in. You know, when me and Jamie moved down here, it was tough. It's surprising to me because Jamie and I were talking about this, and I was on one side of it going, oh, yeah, it was tough. You know, it was terrible. And she's like, yeah, but really it wasn't. It was really easy. And I'm like, I had to consider that for a few minutes. And the funny thing is, looking back, how in the world did we make it through that? And it's not even been a full year that we've been here. We're still going through hardships. We all do. That doesn't stop. And that's what we're going to talk about here. But I thought about it and I was like, man, she's right. When God decided to move and we kind of got our hearts right in it, and we said, okay, Lord, whatever you want us to do. Daniel Casney had been praying about, you know, this church plant. He said, I'm coming with him years ago. And I said, you're crazy. Guess what? As soon as I said, okay, all right, okay, God, let's discuss this. Okay. It wasn't really a discussion. God already had a plan. And he's like, okay, you can try to discuss it with me, Jordan. You've been trying that for years. It's not going to work. And the funny thing is, he worked it out. He made it real easy. But Paul goes in to 29 and 30. Well, I'm sorry, 30. And this is where I want to wrap it up. I kind of paraphrase some of this stuff because I don't want to go too far into this. There's so much good here that we can take from him encouraging the church, encouraging us as Christians, as Christ followers, people who are dying every day to go, man, I don't know how to grow my relationship. Here's some simple truths. But he says in 29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. For Paul, to live as Christ. Everything about his life is about serving Christ. We know that. And if that means suffering, so be it. Are we suffering for Christ? Sometimes we're so afraid to do that as a church. We don't want to give up any of our luxuries. We don't want to give up the things that we like. In order to be able to follow Christ, you got to let go of some of the past. You got to let go of some of those ticks, some of those things that you know hold you back. And I'm just as guilty as the next guy. Are we willing to suffer for him? He goes on and says, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul's saying, hey, I know you've been hearing about all this terrible stuff that's happening to me. Don't be discouraged by that. I think about John, I believe it's John 15, 18. And I didn't give this to Daniel to put up here, but John 15, 18, Jesus said that if people hate you, it's because they first hated me. You're struggling. You're suffering. It's tough. But the reality is, Jesus never made it, said it was going to be easy. But we're here to spread the gospel. We're here to grow for His kingdom. How huge is that? And I think about all the people that we can touch. All the people all over this entire world who don't know Jesus, that are hurting, they don't know where to turn with whatever their problem is. They're suffering. They're going through hardships, but they don't know to turn here. And oftentimes, we're not willing to suffer so that we can show them the way. And it breaks my heart because I'm just as bad as anyone. You know, I'm pumped up right now. I'm excited. I'm going to leave this building today. I'm like, woo, world changers, right? Wednesday afternoon rolls around. It's a little different story. The week's been beating me down a little bit. Our bill's coming due. Is it almost the end of the month? But y'all catch my drift. Life starts beating us down, and we start to take our mind off of that. We're not focused. So I guess that's my prayer for us as a church. For me personally, that's been my prayer as I've been preparing this. And, you know, Daniel told me, hey, we're going to do Philippians. And I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. This is going to be exciting because Paul don't play, right? I think that as I was preparing for this, me and Daniel, matter of fact, one day had a conversation. I said, hey, Paul, hey, Daniel, I'm reading about Paul. That joker was crazy. He was a good Christian, man. He makes me feel weak as a Christian. And Daniel and I chuckled. He's like, I know, me too, man. Like, dude, he's serious. Paul will call you out. And that's not my intention here. My intention is to encourage, just like Paul. You know, that's what he's trying to say is, hey, we're a church. We're here together. Put Christ first. Run the race together. You know, Daniel talked about that last week, that, you know, our joy is increased when we get to see the people around us running that race. And we know we're all spreading the gospel together so that we can teach people about Jesus. Give them the same freedom we know we have, but are we willing to share it? And it's a simple thing. It might even be knocking on the door and giving somebody cookies. Hey, we made y'all some cookies. And they're like, what? What are these people giving us cookies for? Maybe I just wanted to love on you. Wait a minute, why they got love for me? That's all Paul's encouraging us to do. It's real simple. It's hard. That's the catch. But I just pray that for us, you know. I'm going to ask the band to come on back up. I'm not going to ramble too long. As my wife says, I talk too much. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to beat you down too hard. But, you know, just going into to Philippians 12 through 30, I felt like I had to, there's so much going on here. To live, you know, to live for Christ, what does that look like for us each week? What are we doing Monday through Saturday to live for Him? And maybe it's just encouraging other people to do it. Striving together. So I'm going to pray over us. I'm going to pray us into this worship time as the band gets back up here. And I just want us to be challenged with that this week. I want this church, not just this church, but you as, you know, individuals, to just pray over that for yourself. Just like I have. I'm telling you, this has been a convicting message for me to prepare, because I had to do my own reality check. I had to check my motives. And I had to find out, well, okay, Paul's talking about some serious stuff here. Am I living for Christ? And then not only that, to die is gain. For him to meet Jesus face to face was even more important. But he knew in the meantime, he would be able to serve Jesus. And it was all about spreading the gospel. So I'll pray us out, let you guys start. Father God, I just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to know you. To know that you love us and you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, for our sins, so that we could have this freedom that Paul talks about here. God, I just pray that this church, these people, that we are encouraged by Paul's words and his letters to the churches, God, that we would be as in love with you as he was, to be able to have our every single moment to serve Him. And I just ask that that is our prayer as a church, as a group, that we would just want to love You so much that every moment of our day we go, hey God, how can I serve You? Whatever it takes. If it's, it could be a simple smile at the Walmart line. God, I just pray over this church. I pray over these people that that would be our prayer. That would be our heart so that we could live for Christ, so that we can spread the gospel. Not, God, because pastors tell us, God, but because that's what we know we're called to as Christ followers. In Your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.